There was no talk for a long time. They watched a pickup truck roll to a stop near the gate. The driver was a heavy-set man with faded jeans, a denim cap, a thick beard, and a limp. He walked around the end zone and down the track, and as he stepped up to the bleachers, he noticed Neely and Curry sitting higher, watching every move he made. He nodded at them, climbed a few rows, then sat and gazed at the field, very still and very alone. "That's Orley Short," Paul said, finally putting a name with a face. "Late 70s. "I remember him," Neely said. "Slowest linebacker in history. And the meanest. All conference, I think. Played 1 year to JUCO, then quit to cut timber for the rest of his life. Rake loved the loggers, didn't he?" "But didn't we all? 4 loggers on defense and a conference title was automatic." Another pickup stopped near the first. Another hefty gentleman in overalls and denim lumbered his way to the bleachers where he greeted Orley Short and sat beside him. Their meeting did not appear to be planned. "Can't place him," Paul said, struggling to identify the second man and frustrated that he could not. In 3.5 decades, Rake had coached hundreds of boys from Messina and the county. Most of them had never left. Rake's players knew each other. They were members of a small fraternity whose membership was forever closed. "You should get back more often," Paul said when it was time to talk again. "Why?" "Folks would like to see you." "Maybe I don't want to see them." "Why not?" "I don't know." "You think people here still hold a grudge because you didn't win the Heisman?" "No." "They'll remember you all right, but your history. You're still their All-American, but that was a long time ago. Walk in Renfro's cafe, and Maggie still has that huge photo of you above the cash register. I go there for breakfast every Thursday morning, and sooner or later, 2 old-timers will start debating who was the greatest Messina quarterback, Neely Crenshaw or Wally Webb. Webb started for 4 years, won 46 in a row, never lost, etc., etc. But Crenshaw played against black kids, and the game was faster and tougher. Crenshaw signed with Tech, but Webb was too small for the big time. They'll argue forever. They still love you, Neely." "Thanks, but I'll skip it." "Whatever." "It was another life." "Come on, give it up. Enjoy the memories." "I can't. Rake's back there." "Then why are you here?" "I don't know." A telephone buzzed from somewhere deep in Paul's nice dark suit. He found it and said, "Curry." A pause. "I'm at the field with Crenshaw." Another pause. "Yep, he's here. I swear." "Okay." Paul slapped the phone shut, tucked it into a pocket. "That was Silo," he said. "I told him you might be coming." Neely smiled and shook his head at the thought of Silo Mooney. "I haven't seen him since we graduated." He didn't graduate, if you will recall." "Oh, yeah, I forgot. Had that little problem with the police. Schedule 4 controlled substances. His father kicked him out of the house a month before he graduated." "Yeah, now I remember." "He lived in Rake's basement for a few weeks and joined the army." "What's he doing now?" "Well, let's say he's in the middle of a very colorful career. He left the army with a dishonorable discharge, bounced around for a few years offshore on the rigs, got tired of honest work, came back to Messina where he peddled drugs until he got shot at. I assume the bullet missed by an inch, and Silo tried to go straight. I loaned him $5,000 to buy the old Franklin shoe store, and he set himself up as an entrepreneur. He cut the prices of his shoes while at the same time doubling his employees' wages, and went broke within a year. He sold cemetery lots, then used cars, then mobile homes. I lost track of him for a while. One day he walked to the bank and paid back everything he owed in cash. Said he'd finally struck gold." "In Messina?" "Yep, somehow he swindled old man Joslin out of his junkyard, east of town. He fixed up a warehouse, and in the front he runs a legitimate body shop, a cash cow. In the back he runs a chop shop, specializing in stolen pickups, a real cash cow." "He didn't tell you this?" "No, he didn't mention the chop shop. but I do his banking, and secrets are hard to keep around here. He's got some deal with a gang of thieves up in the Carolinas, whereby they ship him stolen trucks. He breaks them down and moves the parts. It's all cash, and evidently there's plenty of it. The cops? Not yet, but everybody who deals with him is very careful. I expect the FBI to walk in any day with a subpoena, so I'm ready. Sounds just like Silo, Neely said. He's a mess, drinks heavily, lots of women, throws cash around, looks 10 years older. Why am I not surprised? Does he still fight? All the time. Be careful what you say about Rake. Nobody loves him like Silo. He'll come after you. Don't worry. As a center on offense and the nose guard on defense, Silo Mooney owned the middle of every field he played on. He was just under 6 feet tall with a physique that resembled, well, a silo. Everything was thick. Chest, waist, legs, arms. With Neely and Paul, he started for 3 years. Unlike the other two, Silo averaged 3 personal fouls in every game. Once he had 4, 1 in each quarter. Twice he got ejected for kicking opposing linemen in the crotch. He lived for the sight of blood on the poor boy lined up against him. Got that sumbitch bleeding now, he would growl in the huddle, usually late in the first half. He won't finish the game. Go ahead and kill him, Neely would say, egging on a mad dog. One less defensive lineman made Neely's job much easier.